You're listening to Be Inspired, your one-stop shop for inspiration. Stay tuned for your inspiring show. Now, here's your host, Erica.
Welcome to Be Inspired with me, Erica Latrice. This is your one-stop shop for inspiration. Coming up on today's show, I have an exciting guest in the Be Inspired Cafe who is so uplifting, encouraging, and inspiring, of course. So you definitely want to stick around for that. Also, I have a quick message for you guys today. If you're looking for a little boost of encouragement, then you definitely will want to stay tuned, and my song pick of the day. So let's jump right in. Today, I want to share with you a simple price that you have to pay. You may or may not realize it, but this is a price that we oftentimes pay unwillingly, but there's no way of avoiding it if you have this habit that I want to discuss with you, and that is the price of procrastination. I cannot tell you guys how many times I've come up with an idea. In fact, I have a really great friend. She and I often laugh, even though it's kind of not funny when we think about it. But we laugh about the fact that there have been times where we have sat down and come up with an amazing idea, and then we procrastinated on acting on it. What inevitably happens is that every time that we reconnect, whether it's a few weeks or a few months down the line, it never fails that someone else has implemented this idea and taken action on it. And it is heart-wrenching when you have a great idea or when you have something that you know you need to be doing, but you drag your feet. You end up paying the price of seeing someone else execute it. And so my encouragement for you guys today is to never pay the price of procrastination. And the best way that you can avoid doing that is by taking action. In fact, I've actually heard it put like this: the more that you shorten the time between having an idea and taking action, the more likely it is that you are going to see some amazing things take place. Now, that's the Erica version, but basically what it comes down to is that you can eliminate fear by eliminating the time that it takes for you to take action. One of my favorite verses is, well, this isn't a verse, again, the Erica version, but one of the favorite things that I always think about is the immediate obedience of Abraham. As soon as he knew what he needed to do, and I could talk about a lot of people, but he implemented that immediate obedience, taking that action as soon as he knew to take the action. So that is my quick message for you guys today. My inspirational song of the day is coming from artist Julius Witherspoon. I love this song. You've probably heard me share it a gazillion times, but it's called Fight.
Some things that I do ain't always pleasing to you, but I really want to love you like I say I do. But I'm too tired to fight, too tired to fight. Let my life be more than what I say up on the mic. I'm too tired to fight, too tired to fight. I'm a mess right now, but Jesus, you can get me right. I'm angry and frustrated because I'm mess right now, but Jesus, you can get me right, get me right, get me right.
Welcome you all into the Be Inspired Cafe. Now, my special guest today, I have had an amazing opportunity to just sit around in her group on Facebook for starters, where she is incredible. Like, I don't even know another word for it, where she just gives tons of value to her followers and to those that really love the messages that she shares. So it is truly an honor for me to welcome with you into the Be Inspired Cafe our special guest, Anita Albert Watson, and she is a business and success strategist for Christian women entrepreneurs. Anita, welcome. How are you doing today?
Oh my goodness, I'm doing so fabulous, Erica. I thank you so much for this opportunity to come and talk with you. I'm trying so hard to contain my excitement.
I love it. Well, I'm pumped because I always tell people to get out notes, but seriously, you guys, you're going to get encouraged. I almost want to tell you to hit record right now so that you can play back this interview and hear all of the amazing things that Anita brings to the table. So, Anita, can we kick it off? Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself for those that may not have come in contact with you?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I have to say that I am a lover of Jesus. I am totally sold out to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know without a doubt that everything is about him. So while we're talking about business and building our businesses today, and I am a business and success strategist for Christian women entrepreneurs, all of it flows from a place of loving the Lord Jesus and building his kingdom, because I really and truly believe that God is doing a new thing in our generation, especially among women. This time that we've stepped into is unprecedented in terms of the role that women can play in society and the influence that women have in our society, especially, and I know we're going to talk about this, especially with the internet and the global reach of the internet. I believe that God is raising Christian women into business positions, and he is longing to increase our influence, our impact, and our income. Yes, income. I'm going to talk about money. God wants to give us money. Not for our own selves, although he likes us to enjoy money. He wants to see us prosper just like we would want to see our children prosper. But at the root of that is the extension of his kingdom. And so my role in what God is doing in these days is to inspire and encourage and equip women who are called to business to go forth boldly, not just for themselves and their families, but for the kingdom of God.
Oh, my gosh. I love it, Anita. So it's so interesting because a lot of times I will find that people shy away from their faith, and I will definitely raise my hand feeling guilty at times where I'm like, should I say it? And then, of course, I just pray about it. You know, you want to be led by the Holy Spirit as you share these things. But what's so amazing to me about what you do is that you are so open with your faith, and where I know, like, some people's fear is like, oh, I don't want to turn people away. I love that you're so open about it, and I know that you're doing what God is calling you to do, because people are able to let down their guard, and it's something that I'm seeing, like just from observing, it's drawing even more people in and opening the discussion to talk about business and success and all these great things, but you're able to do that with your faith. So I think that's huge. And my first question for you is, was that ever a challenge trying to figure out that balance between sharing your faith and really taking that leap in a world where we're almost, from my perspective, it's almost like, don't say anything about that. Right. Just stick to business. You know, mm-hmm. How has that been for you?
Oh my, I'm so glad you brought this up, because this has been huge with the women that I've come into contact with during the course of building my own business and getting my message out there. For me, there was no question. I knew from the time that God revealed this whole coaching industry to me, I knew that he was calling me to refresh the saints and to work with other believers. And so it's never been an issue for me. It's actually been what's defined me. And what I've found as I've been stepping out and proclaiming this message is exactly what you described. Women who have felt the sense of, should I do that? Should I say it? Am I going to lose clients? Or can I actually focus on serving other Christian women? Or is that too small of a market niche? Women have really been struggling with whether or not to say that they follow Jesus and how much to share and when. And so it's been fun. As I've been stepping out, other women have been reaching out to me and saying, oh, you know, I didn't think I can do this, but I know the Lord wants me to, and now I can. So it's been fantastic to see women stepping into it and owning it and beginning to realize that, yeah, I can proclaim the name of Jesus, whether or not I'm serving Christian women.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I love this. So one thing that I want to talk about as well is that you have really maximized social media. Like, In observing, like I said, in observing you and seeing how many lives you're affecting and even seeing the rapid growth of your social mm-hmm. media reach, how did that get started for you? Like, when was that moment when you knew you wanted to step out and do this whole business? And I guess take us back to, like, the earlier stages, how you got started and, how it's been able to grow.
Yeah, so I was discerning the Lord's will for my life. And I had just stepped out of pastoral ministry. And I thought that I was going to be a pastor forever within my denomination. And I wound up marrying my husband. It was in 2011, and he had been a pastor for 20 years. And so here we are, we're like in the, it was a year and a half into our marriage and our joint ministry together. And he starts talking about wanting to step out of pastoral ministry because he was at that point, you know, it's hard work to serve in a local congregation. And especially within the denomination that we're a part of, Salvation Army, which, so we're pastors, we're taking care of administrative programs, you know, running transitional housing shelters, emergency shelters.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Just a whole lot of stuff. And he and you get moved around as a Salvation Army officer. You get moved around to different places just as if you were in the regular Army. So he had a lot of moves, and he felt like God was calling him to settle down in a specific place and really build roots. And so we stepped out of that ministry, and I thought to myself, well, what in the world am I going to do now? What am I going to do next? And I started to think about, I was actually thinking about stepping into counseling, clinical counseling, because I knew that I had the heart to encourage and equip others. And as I was looking into that, God showed life coaching. And so I got my coaching certification as soon as I heard that confirmation from God saying, go this way. I got my certification. I finished, and I thought to myself, well, the best way to do this in terms of bringing on clients, I mean, just the first thought I had was, I'm going to do this online. I'm going to go online. It just kind of came to me. And so my first step was to build a website, and I was so excited about building my website, and I launched my website to crickets.
I know that feeling.
Yes. For some reason, some strange reason, I look back in retrospect, I'm like, okay, this was 2014. I look back and think to myself, what did I think? I would just, like, how are they going to get there? Because as you know, you need to learn how to move traffic to your website. And I didn't even know anything about traffic. That wasn't even a vocabulary word that I knew. So that happened. And then I discovered, there's this whole online business thing, and there's a way to do it. And so I started just, you know, learning and watching from people like Michael Hyatt and Amy Porterfield. I learned about Facebook through like a free Amy Porterfield training, and these people are so fantastic. There's so much, there's a wealth of information you can find online just for free. And that's how I started learning about how to leverage the online aspect of building a business and how to use social media to gain a following. That's kind of how it all started. And then it was a learning experience, a lot of learning.
That is so powerful. You know, Anita, when I first started my website, I always joke, I'm like, yeah, you know, the first month I had about 10 visitors myself, probably going back 5 times, you know,
yeah,
my mom and my sister.
Right.
And we're wondering like, oh, you know, you assume that when you hit publish for that site that everyone in the world is going to be so excited about what you're doing and they're all
right.
going to show up, right? So my next question, yes, it's like, where are they? What's wrong with them? You know, it's not me. What's wrong with them? Why aren't they here? But what would you say to that person? They're in a place right now where they're looking to figure out, okay, what's the first step, or how do I know what my first step should be? What advice would you give?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. I would suggest, first listening, you know, listening to the Lord and getting clear on what it is he's calling you to do, and then asking him to show you someone who is doing what you desire to do. And simply just looking at what that person is doing and how they're doing it so that you can get an idea and get some inspiration as to the direction you want to go, and then start learning how to do it. And again, there's so many resources online to help you figure out this whole online business thing. I know for me, you know, I started learning on my own through freebies and opt-ins, and then I took a course that I spent about $2,000 on, an online course. And I think this is something that so many women follow, the same trajectory that I'm describing here. Learn on your own. Jump into an online course with hundreds of other people that costs about $2,000 or more. And then you get out of that with a really good wealth of knowledge, but you've not really implemented. happened one time. And then it's like, okay, well, now I have to start this implementation process. And how do I do that? And I've found that the best way to cut your timeline down in terms of moving forward in the online business sphere is to hire a one-on-one coach.
I definitely agree with you. I call it mental obesity, where we just keep gathering all this information and gathering, the equivalent to just eating and eating, but then you're not doing anything to burn it,
right.
You know, like anything to take action. And I definitely agree with you there, Anita. And I would say to anyone that's listening, one of the biggest, I would even say transformations for myself was when I learned the value that you said, investing. Like investing in someone that can help you and hold your hand and show you how to avoid many of the pitfalls and many of the mistakes that so many people make.
Exactly.
That's such great advice.
Yes, and I believe it's a biblical principle. You know, you think about business, let's talk about business offline. You know, if you're going to go and build a Burger King franchise, right, you know you're going to be investing money into that business. Most businesses in the real world take 5 years to be profitable, because they are taking out business loans, they are building. And so the same thing can be applied to the online business world. Thankfully, you're not going to be spending like $1 million on building your online business. The entry point in terms of building a business online is so much lower. And even then, some women are afraid to invest in themselves. But, you know, the biblical law of sowing and reaping applies to business. And because businesses are meant to make money, before we can make money in our businesses, we have to be able to sow money into our businesses. So I think that's a concept that women need to grasp as they're moving forward in business. When they take that step, not only financially investing in their businesses, but then seeking skilled help. You know, we think about, you know, when you're going to become a doctor, people get education to become a doctor. There's a learning curve, right? Again, much easier to become a business owner in the online space than it is to go to medical school for 12 years, but you're still, there's still an aspect of getting educated and finding a teacher who can teach you how to do what it is that you want to do.
Oh my gosh, that's so great. I told you guys you were going to get some good information. I love this. Anita, you bring up a good point, even with the investing in yourself and sowing seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I see that becomes a challenge, especially for, I call it purpose-driven entrepreneurs, people that they're not just doing this. It's not just about the money. They really want to help. They really want to solve problems and all of that great stuff, even though we know at the end of the day, if you're not making money, you're not in business. Like business is to, you know, create an income. So what would you say to someone right now that's kind of struggling because maybe they have this block when it comes to monetizing their gifts and monetizing that thing that they're passionate about? What advice would you give for that?
This is a huge issue, especially when it comes to women who are very purpose-driven and are thinking about their businesses also as ministry. It can be a very big block. And I think, you know, the more that I think on this, the more that I work with women on this issue, is that it's a value issue. Women, you know, most women have no problem, all women, I would say, going to a job, right? You go to a job, you're employed by someone else, and you're getting paid. And let's say you're working for a church or you're working for a ministry. There's no second guessing the value of being paid through an employer. It's not an issue when you're getting paid for using your gifts when you're employed. But then when you're out on your own, all of a sudden it becomes an issue, as if you need an employer or someone over you in authority to give you permission to earn money, to validate you, right? Like, oh, it's okay
Absolutely.
For you to do this. And then, of course, now you're on your own, you're using your gifts, and you don't get that external validation. And so as a business owner in ministry, you know, doing this out of the love that we have for Jesus, we need to remember that it's still a business, right? And it's God that validates us. And it's God that gives us permission to make a living. And we see that with so many women in the Bible, which is another thing that just blows my mind because, you know, in the beginning of this conversation, I was talking about how culture has changed, that women can really enter into business in a way that they couldn't before. But here in biblical times, culture was very different and women didn't have the same rights and opportunities. But yet, for the Bible, you see example after example of women making money. So you think about, right? Ruth going and reaping, and then Dorcas with her clothing that she would produce, and the Proverbs 31 woman. Like, here are women in a time when it was almost impossible for a woman to make money, but God put into his word these amazing examples of women using their gifts to prosper. So I would suggest that if any woman feels badly about monetizing their gifts or going into business and making money off of these gifts that the Lord has given her, I would recommend that she read Proverbs 31 over and over again until she allows the truth to sink in to her heart and her mind.
Oh my gosh. That, Anita, that is such good advice. And I think about even the woman with the vessels when she was, I mean, at the last option, like there was nothing that she could do. And she had to get resourceful. And that was a business 101 because she was not, you know, the prophet didn't come and say, okay, you know, go apply at Walmart.
Right.
They had a Walmart, you know, and let's see how many checks you can save up. It was go out and gather everything that is in your hands. Go out and get everything that you have access to. And then people can, you know, put it however they want, but essentially she flipped and reversed it. Like, she turned that into an opportunity to sell so that she was able to meet the needs that she had. So that's so true.
Amen.
So true what you just said. I mean, I feel like I'm about to pass the collection plate. I love it. I love when I get my faith-filled people in the cafe where we can really just discuss. So, Anita, tell me this. For those that are listening that want to get connected with you, they want to support what you're doing and find out a little more about what it is that you offer, what's the best way that we can get connected?
Well, I am currently in the process of relaunching my website. So right now, the best way to get connected would be to join the private Facebook community that I lead, which is called The Christian Woman Entrepreneur. And that is a group filled with women who are so purpose-driven, who are following the leading of the Lord, and it's a place of support and encouragement. I'm there. I show up daily. I've heard time and time again women saying that it's one of the most engaged Facebook groups that they're in. I would invite women to come and join us there in the Christian Woman Entrepreneur.
Yes, and I can attest to that, you guys. So if you're listening, I will have the direct link so that you can get connected. But that group is so supportive, and you will see so many different gifts just popping up in there. So, yes, get connected. If you are not in that group, not sure what you're waiting for, but join now so that you can get even more inspiration from Anita on a regular basis. Anita, I just want to say thank you so much. This has been so encouraging and, gosh, like so mind-blowing for me because you just have such great insight. So thank you so much for taking time out to be in the Be Inspired Cafe.
You're so welcome, Erica. It's been a blessing to me, and I'm praying that it'll be a blessing to others. And I want to affirm you for what you're doing in the online space, Erica, bringing this inspiration and motivation to many. So bless you as you continue to move forward in business.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Be Inspired. And if you want to get connected with more inspiration, encouragement, and even support, make sure that you jump over to The Empowerment Club, and you can get there at bit.ly/The Empowerment Club. First letters are all caps. Or just head over to ericlatrice.com for all that information. You guys go out and make today amazing because it is absolutely a choice. And you know that I'm always reminding you to dream big, live on purpose, and of course, be inspired.
For more inspiration, visit us online at ericalatrice.com.